Warning. According to the Surgeon General, women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy because of the risk of birth defects. Consumption of alcoholic beverages impairs your ability to drive a car or operate machinery and may cause you to become confused as to what liquids you should drink and liquids that you shouldn't, such as liquids with volatile sensitivity to changes in temperature and or pressure, liquids that require two mechanical seals to stay put, non-lubricating liquids that produce gases and or solids that may or may not be abrasive, liquids that are seriously goddamn sensitive to agitation, liquids that react with each other to form a solid, which is an absolute nightmare, take it from Sick Puppy, or limitlessly lubricating liquids a nightmare at the other end of the spectrum. Take it from Spoon. And lastly, anything at all consumed by the boys at
shouldidrinkthat.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Sick Puppy from shouldidrinkthat.com, where even if it's crap, we drink it so you don't have to. So there was a little bit of a chatter on Facebook today, and it got me thinking, if you're local to the PA area, or, you know, live in Pennsylvania, there's a little... what would you call it, an argument going on back and forth between whether we should privatize the liquor sales in Pennsylvania or keep them state-run. And who better to talk about this with than our good friend Lou Brayson. How you doing, man?
I'm good, good. Happy to talk about that.
No doubt, man. You want to tell the folks that aren't familiar with Lou what Lou's all about?
I am a I'm a beer and spirits writer. Have been full-time since 95. Live outside of Philadelphia. Managing editor of Whiskey Magazine. I write for several beer magazines pretty regularly. I have a blog. Actually, I have three blogs. I'm a little little overextended there. But it's what I do.
Awesome.
And one of those blogs is called Why the PLCB Should Be Abolished. The PLCB is the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board. I don't actually want to do away with alcohol regulation, but the state-owned liquor stores... Yeah, I want to do away with those.
Yeah, and I totally agree, and this is why I wanted to talk to you about it, because I was getting some slack, you know, back on Facebook about that today. And I think it's a lot of people, you know, I don't want to belittle people at all. I don't mean to do that or sound in a negative way, but I think a lot of people form their own opinions without even looking at the facts. They just think, oh, the state's running it, we should be fine, whatever. You know, without looking at the positive side of it.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, not even being exposed to even a decent argument about it.
Or exposed to a decent liquor store.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's always my...
And, you know, like we were talking about before we started recording, Lou, I mean, I have a beer in my hand that, guess what, I didn't get it in PA.
And I have whiskey in my hand that you can't get in PA.
It's just not available and because the state won't sell it.
Well, and the other thing is, I mean, we're both technically breaking the law because not only... can't you buy it anywhere else in Pennsylvania? Legally, Pennsylvania citizens are not allowed to buy booze in another state and bring it home.
Right, and they want the tax revenue. That's why that is kind of there, right?
Right, but the weird thing about it is, if I buy that bottle of whiskey somewhere and bring it home to Pennsylvania and write them and say, look, I bought this bottle of whiskey because I can't get it in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Can I pay the taxes? They won't let you.
Are you serious?
I asked them about this, and the opinion of their legal counsel was, no, there's no... Actually, they suggested I could get a rabbinical license to bring in wine for... even with this beard, I'm not... I ain't a rabbi. But there is no way that a private citizen can even bring it in and pay the tax and be okay.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah, you want to know... Let me give you just one more that's even nuttier.
Oh, please do.
Oh, you can bring it in from another country.
Yeah, dude, so, I just got back from Aruba.
I'm telling you, I can't go 15 minutes to New Jersey and bring in a bottle of wine. I can go around the world to New Zealand, and that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I brought back like three bottles of rum and a bunch of beer.
No problem.
You know?
Yeah, but God help you, you go across a state border.
Who does that, though?
Well, you know, the thing is...
You know, come on.
You have to explain to people the reason this is all legal, because people say, well, that's a monopoly, you can't do that, or we're Americans, you can't tell us where we're going to... The 21st Amendment actually does give the state that power.
So they can
pretty much do anything they want with alcohol sales. That's how the 21st Amendment's been interpreted. There are just a few times when other parts of the Constitution have been determined to trump that. The national legal drinking age, which actually isn't a national drinking age.
No.
the government convincing states to go to 21, because if they don't, they lose 10% of their highway fund.
Exactly, yeah. That's exactly why that went nationwide.
Yeah.
You know, it's a threat, basically.
It is. It's extortion.
Extortion. That's a way better
word. Do
what
we want, or we'll take money. We won't give you this money.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of politics in general, I guess, but, you know.
Oh, I'm not going there.
Yeah, I know. This is the beer show. Let's just stick with that.
That's right. Let's stick to beer. Actually, that's the one thing with this. There is a bill that's, going to be coming up for consideration when the legislature comes back into session in September. But there's no mention of beer in it.
Really?
This is strictly about privatization of the state wine and liquor stores. In fact, Senator Rafferty had a bill up last session about, God help me, finally getting done with the case law.
Right, I just read about that.
And for those of you that are not familiar, in Pennsylvania, when you go to a beer retail store, which we call distributors, which is really confusing as well, but that's what we do, you have to buy it by the case. You can't buy a smaller quantity. You can buy a case, you can buy multiple cases, you can buy a keg, but you can't buy a six-pack. You can't even buy a 12-pack.
Right.
Whereas if you go to a bar, you can buy a single bottle for takeout, you can get a six-pack, you can get a 12-pack, but that's all. You can't buy more than that.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
It's nuts.
But that kind of brings up another point that I've been talking about for a very long time, and it didn't really originate with the whole PLCB privatization thing. Mm-hmm. It was more of, you know, how we're starting to get the giant eagles around here, the grocery store starting to sell the beers, right? My big concern about that, and it kind of stems from the PLCB in a way, is, you know, because our laws are so messed up, people found ways around it, and, you know, that's why we have all these great six-pack shops in the state and, you know, in Pittsburgh, and I love those six-pack shops. And my concern was always, okay, Giant Eagle comes in, you know, then Sheetz is going to do it. But is that going to hurt those six-packs so much or I can't go get the selection that I have right now?
Well, I'll tell you.
One side of me thinks it's a great thing, but the other side of me...
There is. Here's the thing. I do go to states where they sell beer in grocery stores. I mean, it's not that far away. It's not that hard. A lot of the places I've been to have really a pretty darn good selection in the stores.
I know, but I'm used to, like, six-pack shops with 600 to 800 bottles. Do you see that where you're at?
How many of those do you see?
At least four.
Okay. You'll see that many.
Okay.
Seriously.
Okay.
I've been in Wegmans that have 300, 400.
Right.
So I'm pretty good with that, you know, especially because I can get it there. And the thing is, there's always going to be a niche for the specialty store.
And that's where, I agree with that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And see, that's coming back around. That's my real problem with the state wine and liquor stores. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because the way the system is now, a specialty store is impossible. I like to say that the PLCB, the state stores, are like Wawa. Or if you're not familiar with Wawa, it's Sheetz or Turkey Hill. It's a convenience store chain, all
right? Right.
There are big Wawas. There are small Wawas. There's normal Wawas. But you know what? They're all Wawa. And they all get the same stuff. Some of them have a little bit more of it, but it's all the same stuff. There's no... there's no corner deli. There's no Wegmans. There's none of that. There's Wawa, and that's it. That's the only choice you have, and you have to go there, or state police will arrest you.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Come on.
I mean, you would probably know this more than I, and I think our listeners might want to know too. I mean, what's the markup at the state stores? Do you know that?
It's actually it's law. Here's what happens. Booze comes out of a distillery, all right? A bottle of liquor comes out of a distillery, a bottle of wine comes out of the vineyard, okay? Mm-hmm. Aside from the taxes they'll have to pay, the feds then put the federal excise tax on it, okay?
Right.
Gets to Pennsylvania, and the state puts the state puts the 18% Johnstown flood emergency tax.
I forgot about that, and that
we'll get to
me
that.
Off.
We'll get to that. Hang on.
Right.
Okay. And I think then they put the 30% markup on, okay? That's the store markup. Yeah, there are private stores that add that much markup.
Oh, sure.
There are private stores that add less.
Right.
But there's not many of them are under 15%. They're usually around 20, 25.
Yeah, and that kind of brings up the point.
Well, wait, we're not done.
Ah, go ahead.
You still
continue,
have,
my friend.
Okay. You know, then there's still the handling fee, which is around $1, $1.50 a bottle, maybe a little more, maybe a little bit less, but around there. And then on top of all that, 6% sales tax. So you're paying tax, federal, on tax, Johnstown Flood, tax, because the markup for the state is really a tax, bottle handling fee, and then 6% of everything. So by the time you get this, you know, what starts out as maybe a $5 bottle of liquor is up around 18 bucks.
Yeah, sure. And that's insane in anyone's mind. You know, I don't care what your beliefs are. That's crazy.
Well, see, this is the thing. You know, this whole thing has been like picking up a rock and seeing all the crap that's under it.
Right.
Because, you know, they keep saying, well, the bill has to be revenue neutral. Essentially, they don't want to lose taxes.
Right.
Okay. Understood, kind of. Except when they started looking at how much this actually is, started adding all this together and find out what it turns out we have one of the highest wine and spirits taxes in the country.
In the country, yeah.
It is. It's more than twice what the neighboring states are.
And I'm really glad you brought that up, too. Because
why are we paying all that?
Yeah. I mean, the people that I talk to that want to keep it, you know, run by the government, if you will.
Right.
That's one of their arguments is, well, look at all the money it brings into the state. How do you defend that?
You know,
how do
you
rebuttal
private,
that? You know?
The money that comes into the state, 75% of it is taxes. Not the markup, taxes.
Taxes.
Okay, so you're still going to get that. And then whenever you say that, they start raising this big stink about, oh, we collect 100% of the tax. You'll never get that with the other. Yeah, okay, there are companies that manage to avoid sales tax. And you know what happens? They get caught.
Right, yeah.
Okay? They get caught. Besides which, if you've got such a big problem with sales tax collection, guess what? That's a Department of Revenue issue.
Right.
Okay? They need to up their game. And if it's that big a problem, gosh, you must be losing taxes from other businesses too. Right. So why don't you get off your butt and go fix that?
Right, yeah.
You know? It's
great
a non-issue.
Point.
They keep bringing that up, and it's a red herring. Okay.
What about keeping all the children safe?
Funny you should mention that. Just had a new study out as to where underage children actually get their booze. Okay, in the U.S., under 5% of them actually go and show a false ID and buy it at a liquor store. Under 5%.
Wow, I never really even realized it was that low. Even you know,
it is that low. You know where they get it? Friends and family.
Friends and family.
Yeah, that you know all
hey,
this fake ID
I've
stuff.
I've been there.
I can't say anything. I'm not going to say anything. But
yeah, you know.
I mean, the thing is, they're either doing that or they're showing a false ID at a bar. So, what? The state should own all the bars?
Oh, right.
Wouldn't you like that?
Yeah.
How'd you like that? State Dude. Bar system and a union bartender.
Yep.
What do you have? Oh, a beer? Sure. I'll pull this one. There you go.
Yep. Dude, that's a great segue, too. Is like, you know, I asked for people to, you know, give you some questions on Facebook. And one mm-hmm. of our fans, forgive me, I might butcher his last name, but it's Scott Erlbacher. He says, why is the most vocal components to privatization are members of the Retail Workers Union? Do they also believe that the state should control tobacco sales to prevent minors from buying? And his second question is, how many people against have the perspective of prices and selection from living in another state?
There you are. You know, I actually have testified before the state legislature on a different issue. It was a few years ago. I went up to talk about keg registration, which I think is a ridiculous tool.
Didn't they start putting
to stop underage drinking?
Just stickers on the kegs, right?
Yeah, to track who bought it. Gosh, you know, if you see that they're going to put one of those on, are you still going to buy the keg? No.
No,
you're going to go out and buy something else. Like, oh, I don't know, a bottle of 100 proof cheap-ass vodka. Or maybe 3 ounces of dope. Good call.
Good
don't
call.
Get beer. Beer's
no.
bad.
Exactly.
So anyway, I went up to test one on this. I think I was the only person in the room who'd ever actually bought a keg.
Really?
you know, none of these people have any experience with this stuff.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. A whole different culture, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, and people, you bring up someplace right across the border from us, down the southeast corner, there's a place called Total Wine in Delaware.
Yeah, I hear a lot of my friends actually go to Total Wine, yeah.
And, you know, the thing is, the way these people talk about Total Wine and Spirits and the selection they have and what the salespeople are like, it's instantly clear to me that they've never been. Because the selection is phenomenal. The place is the size of an aircraft hangar. And it's not full of, you know, 20,000 pallets of Bud Light.
Right,
oh,
exactly.
And I mentioned that. I'm sorry. They have beer in there, too. You can buy all three boozes at one place.
Right. Beer, Startle. Whiskey, wine. Oh, my God.
I know. It's amazing my head didn't explode from freedom.
But if a kid goes in there, they can get all three, and the person behind the sales counter doesn't care.
They don't care because they're not a state employee. You know,
either way,
they sell
with the laws
it to some people,
you're going to go to jail.
They're going to get fined. The business is going to get fined. The guy could lose his license.
Go to jail?
Yeah, come on. And like I said, under 5% are getting it that way anyway.
Yeah, it's a weak argument.
It's really an incredibly weak argument. But, you know, save the children always sounds good.
Yeah, exactly.
But have you come across that, you know, as far as their wonderful record on not selling to underage, have you seen that they can't be the victim of sting operations by the police?
No, I did not know that.
Ah, yeah. You know, I started wondering about that because I never heard about it going on. Finally, I sent a letter to the Liquor Control Board and the Bureau of Liquor Control Enforcement, the arm of the state police that does that.
Yeah.
Both of them, same response. No, the state stores are not licensed establishments, so we do not... So there's no enforcement going on.
Jeez.
We essentially have their word for it, that nothing happened.
Oh, that's...
It's ridiculous!
It is ridiculous, man. I mean, there's so many arguments we can make. I mean... Even if you want to, like, I know we said we don't want to get too political, and I think we have to go here a little bit, is, you know, the anti-private market side.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're all harping that there's 4,000, 5,000 jobs going to be lost in Pennsylvania if the state stores go away.
Right. The 620 state stores are going to go away, and they're going to replace them with 1,250 licenses, and jobs are going to be lost. That's the part I just can't.
Yeah, the math doesn't work there.
I don't get that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
you know, one of the big worries they bring up is that and to be honest, I have to agree with the general theory. We don't want to swap a public monopoly for a private one.
Okay. Sure. So oh, definitely.
Right. We don't want like Walmart. That Walmart's the one they always bring up because they know people hate Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want them all the licenses, and then we'll have to just buy from them, and they'll only have three kinds of wine and two kinds of liquor. Is that what you really want?
And that goes right back to
selection.
That goes right back to what I was saying earlier, my concern about the big boys having smaller selections.
You know what? If you're going to keep the number of licenses down to 1,200, you're actually increasing the probability that that's going to happen.
Yeah. Totally agree.
New York State is Pennsylvania is 94% the size of New York State geographically. We're about 3/5 the size on population. We have 620 odd liquor stores. I say odd because the LCB keeps opening and closing them like literally almost every week.
Sure.
So it's hard to keep a strict count, but it's around 620, not counting the wine kiosks, which...
Let's not go there.
Seriously, there alone is a reason to get rid of them, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Okay. We have about 620 in New York. They have about 2,500 liquor stores and another 6,600 places that sell wine.
Wow.
And we have 620. Come on. You know, it's not that dangerous. And had I mentioned that our underage drinking, deaths from alcoholism, and DUI rates are essentially the same.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So why are we putting up with all this crap? For what?
Right. I mean, this is just such a hard argument for some people, but to me it's common sense.
You know, the hardest part of it for me is, to be honest, you know, and here you get into another thing about numbers. How many union jobs actually are involved, because there's this tendency to count jobs that aren't actually going to be lost because you want to make the number bigger.
Sure.
But, okay, let's say 4,000.
Yeah.
Okay, those guys are going to lose good jobs,
mm-hmm.
All right, because you know, they are good jobs. The thing is, the reason I'm laughing, whenever you try to tell them that they'll be fine with a job in the private sector, they start telling you about how crappy it is in the private sector and how good they have it as union jobs. But whenever you bring up, you guys are overpaid, oh, no, we don't actually make that much.
Yeah, right, right, yeah.
Which is it? So, yeah. But to be honest, 4,000 people losing jobs, it's not an easy thing to deal with. That, you know, I feel bad. Every now and then I get emails from these people. I mean, the blog's out there, my address is on it, and I'll get emails from people, you're trying to take my job.
Yeah, yeah.
Feels kind of weird, and it's not about that. It's not about busting unions. Okay, my dad was a union member. He was a treasurer of his.
I was a union member.
Okay, it's not about that. It's not about mad Republican Tea Party privatization, which I've been accused of. I don't want to privatize anything. Okay, you know what I want to do? I want to merge PennDOT and the Turnpike Commission. I don't want to privatize it. I just don't see a reason why we have two separate highway outfits. You could save a lot of money there. I mean, you could sell off that beautiful Turnpike Commission building. Whole other story. I might do that after we get rid of these guys.
See, but there you go.
I'm not a mad privatizer. This is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, I know, dude. It's just insane. I mean,
I know. What is the state doing in retail? Why is the state deciding what wine I'm allowed to buy? Why is the state deciding what whiskey I'm not allowed to buy?
Right. And for me, that's across the board. I mean, I'm a registered independent going back to politics.
But I'm not some kind of crazy privatization freak. I just want to get rid of this relic, this fossil. Just this one. I don't want to privatize everything. Right. Just this.
And I get accused all the time, you know, right winger, blah, 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 but I'm not even close to that. And people say, you know, I'm a capitalist pig because I want to privatize everything. It's a ridiculous statement, man.
You know, I really kind of worry about these guys when they start talking about how it's dangerous that these private businesses want to do this and that the profits really should be going to the state. I'm like, you know what? If that's true, why aren't you, like your listeners or your guy on Facebook said, why aren't you selling cigarettes? Why aren't you selling groceries?
Right.
Why aren't you selling guns? Why aren't you selling cars?
Yep.
Why do we even have private business at all? Let the state make all the money.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a good argument either.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it goes the same as healthcare and everything, but I'm not going there.
Right.
So again, we're talking about beer here, but
yeah,
to me, it's along the same lines, or not beer, alcohol in general.
No, actually, talk about Facebook. I was having a discussion with somebody else. I think it might have been in that same thread, and oh no, it was a different one. Doesn't matter. The guy says, "Look, you know, he's European. He's moved here. Actually, lives down the road from me. Okay, I've met the guy in a bar.
Yeah,
and he's saying, so you know, I'm not necessarily sold on this. That I, he says, I think that you know, there's a mixture of commercialism." And idealism in a state-owned store that is good for alcohol because it is a dangerous substance. And, you know, that's something we can't ignore. It can be a dangerous substance. There's no way around it. However, then at the end of his post says, and, you know, if you should win and we get privatization, I hope that the people will, it won't be a monopoly and all they bring in is stuff from InBev and Diageo.
Right. I mean, dude, you make that same argument, though, that huffing paint is a dangerous thing to do.
Well, no, wait. I got him right there. Here we go. All right. Pennsylvania has a state-controlled liquor and wine system, and they got a privately controlled beer system. Now, you tell me which one's working better at getting you stuff other than from InBev and Diageo. All right, because beer, we have one of the best selections in the country. We get everything.
Yep.
Whiskey, wine.
Yeah. Like I always tell people out of the state, that you know, kind of my running joke about getting beers in PA. We got a great selection, but we pay for our sins.
Oh, true.
It's true. A high price more than anywhere else. You know.
Well, you know, the thing is, some of that is the low number of licenses because we actually, again.
Bingo.
We have a high liquor and wine tax, one of the highest in the country.
Yeah.
We have one of the lowest beer taxes.
Yeah. What is that by number?
We're third.
What was it?
I think we're third, tied for third lowest.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's something like either 4 or 6 cents a gallon. It's nothing.
How do they do it by gallon?
Yeah. Yeah, well, which is how most states do wine and spirits. We don't. We do this percentage thing. So you actually wind up, you know, the more expensive a whiskey is, the more tax you're paying on it, the more proportional tax you're paying on it. So yeah. it gets crazy at the top. On the other hand, that makes the cheap stuff really cheap. So wait a minute. If you're actually trying to control how much people are drinking, wouldn't you want to make the cheap stuff more expensive?
More expensive, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, well, we saw that one yesterday. They had hearings up there, and all they did was say, oh, you're trying to screw the common man. Wait, do you want to control him or do you want to screw him? Which do you want to do? Just let me know. I'll line up and do that. Come on. It's just, oh, God. Oh. That's the other thing, you know, of course, the whole problem with the agency. Here's this agency that's the Liquor Control Board, and they're supposed to be controlling alcohol because otherwise it'll go crazy in the streets and we'll kill each other. And at the same time, their other major job is maximizing the state's revenue from sales of booze.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's six of one, half dozen of the other. I mean,
I know. Which master are you serving today?
Yeah, right. Perfect. God. Very well said. Very well said. Yeah, it's frustrating. I mean, where can people go to learn more about this? I know you have a website on it.
I do. I've got the blog. It's noplcb.blogspot.com.
Okay.
But the other one, and this is going to cause some of my lefty liberal friends some angst, the group that is working hardest on this is the Commonwealth Foundation. They're essentially a libertarian think tank in Harrisburg. But you know what? They want this done because, and you know, it's a liberty thing. The state
right.
should not be in retail.
Yep.
And you know what? I mentioned my lefty liberal friends because I got a lot of them.
Oh, me too.
Almost all of them say, well, you know, I'm not in favor of privatization, but this shit's ridiculous. No, because I got to tell you, most of them have pretty good taste in wine and spirits.
And yeah, exactly.
Buy whatever they can get.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, too, because I had actually been on their website today checking it out, and I'd like to share that with everyone, too. If you want to check them out, it's www.commonwealthfoundation.org is their website.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually at a strategy meeting with them last week, had a whole bunch of people in the room. You know, it's like, yes, I'm from Representative Terzai's office. Oh, I'm from the governor's office. I'm with Rite Aid. I'm with the Convenience Store Association. They come around and I said, I'm Lou Bryson. I'm with me.
I'm with me, myself, and I.
Well, you know, the thing is, I was there representing the drinkers.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
Said, I think we have a stake in this. Because I guarantee you, we're going to be forgotten when this comes around. And when the next time the beer thing comes up, we're going to be forgotten. We have to speak up. We have to talk to our legislators.
Yep.
Or we're going to get a result out of this that no one's going to be happy with except a couple of businesses and a bunch of legislators.
Right.
It's right here. It's in our hands. It's us. And we got to write to them. More importantly, you have to actually pick up the phone and call them.
Call them.
Yeah, it means a lot more. And, you know, people were talking about, well, we ought to have a rally. You know what? One of the guys at the meeting is a former union member, used to work for the State Stores Union until, as they said, he saw the light. Now he's a member at Commonwealth.
Awesome.
He's like, rallies. You know, they're going to do rallies. Says, nobody pays much attention to a rally.
Yeah, I don't.
Bunch of people standing on a step. You put a camera in front of them, rah, rah, rah.
Right.
Forget that. Go in. If you're going to go to Harrisburg for a rally, don't go to the rally. Go and visit your legislator.
Right. Yep.
Tell them, I want privatization because this is an insult.
Yeah, and I don't even think, even this day and age, like talking to your representatives, emails don't work because they get ignored.
Yeah, they get buried in emails.
Yeah, petitions don't work because they get ignored.
Right. No, so it's got to be face to face, or at least phone call.
Your actual voice, yes.
Right. Right, because you've taken time to call. You've taken time
yep.
to go visit.
And I think once they get inundated with so many calls, they're going to think twice.
Yeah, yeah, because I guarantee you the union's going to be.
Yeah, and you know,
because it's their job.
Yeah, and that's another point, too. You see all, like, I think you had posted the survey a while back. Do you support the privatization or don't you? And it was just overwhelmingly no, until you realize that the people that are clicking on that survey work for the union.
Yeah. You know? Or their family.
It is a union, so they get the word out, hey, everybody vote no at this link.
Yeah.
You know, so they have the power to do that.
They had there for a while. The lead is slipping.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. No. Our lead is slipping.
Our lead is slipping. I thought you were the other way around. Sorry.
No, our lead's been cut in half today. So, I mean, the union's kicking in. We're going to lose, probably, because, I mean, they got 4,000 members. Not all of them are Facebook illiterate. Just apparently a lot.
And, I think that was my next question, too, is, you know, what hope do we have here? And I think you just said it.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I don't want to, like, bring it down at that point and say we're done.
Here's the thing. There's a pollster at Franklin and Marshall College, G. Terry Madonna. He gets quoted a lot on Pennsylvania politics. Mm-hmm. He's been doing it for years. They asked him about this. He said, I think it is the very best chance that privatization has had since repeal.
Wow.
I give it about a 40% chance.
Man.
It's not going to be easy. I mean, three other governors have tried to do this and failed. Which is why I'm nervous because the governor hasn't said anything yet. On the other hand, the governor didn't really say anything about the budget, and the sucker passed on time with everything he wanted.
Wow.
So,
yeah, who knows?
No, when the budget passed for the first time in 9 years on time, I'm thinking, hey, maybe we can do this.
Yeah, let's hope so, man. I mean, you say it's 40% now. People watching this, tell your family, tell your friends. You know, get the word out. That's what it is.
You know what? This is how Prohibition passed. And people have said it over and over and over again. Prohibition passed because the people in favor of it were organized. They'd been working on it for years.
Yep.
And the people who were against Prohibition, they were allowed drinking.
Yeah, exactly. And they actually have jobs to go to during the day, and they go home and drink.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just not that important an issue for an awful lot of people.
Well, I think it is an important issue.
Oh, yeah.
But not the most important issue, not at the top of their list for sure, you know?
No. I mean, this is the first time in my whole life I've become a single-issue voter. It's just for this season, but this is important to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for years, I mean, I was a single-issue voter Republican because I'm, you know, for guns.
Oh, okay.
And that's kind of changed over the years. My mind hasn't changed, but my politics have.
Yeah.
So I kind of split it down the middle, went independent because I actually hate both sides. They both piss me off, so I'm sitting there.
There's a lot going on like that. Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do? You know? I don't know.
You know, I muddle through and focus on what's important to you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. One day at a time, right, brother?
Yeah, absolutely. And somebody tells me, oh, you know, there's more important things. I'm like, well, okay, you work on those. I'm going to work on this.
Beautifully. Well said, my friend.
Yeah.
I mean, even if they say that, just say, well, take a minute. Take 5 minutes out of your day. Dial that number.
I know. You can't do two things at once.
Right.
Come on.
I can use a phone and drink a beer at the same time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll buy you the gum, okay? You walk, I'll take care of the gum thing.
Yeah, I mean, we're making fun, but, you know, seriously, just, you know, if you're concerned about it, or, you know, if you're supporting the privatization, just take 5-10 minutes out of your day and just pick up that phone. And, you know, that conversation is not going to be an hour long.
No, because they won't want to talk to you.
Right, just make your point and, you know.
Yeah, don't make it long. If you make it too long, they write you off as a wacko.
Yeah, right. I mean,
keep it short to the point.
You might want to throw in there, you know, your job's at stake if you don't pass this kind of a comment, I guess.
You just say, it's a very important issue to me, and I'll remember it at election time.
Yes, that's much more politically correct.
Well, you know, you're dealing with a politician. You ought to be. What's up?
Yeah. Speak their language, right?
Yeah. In terms they understand.
Yeah. So, all right, but any final words on the subject? We should probably wrap this up here.
Well, I'll tell you. again, at that strategy session, they're all for dealing with beer, but they don't want to lose focus on this.
Right.
Because, to be honest, I mean, some of the guys think that getting the beer laws changed is going to be even harder than this.
Yeah, and, you know, I hate to go off on a tangent again.
No, no.
You just made me think of something else. I was reading somewhere where even, like, the beer distributors are concerned about this passing.
Yes.
But why should they be?
They don't want to be shut out.
Yeah, but if that passes, won't they have an open chance to sell six-packs and a little six-pack store in their distributor?
No, not necessarily.
Really?
Not necessarily. If it doesn't actually say so, the thing is, right now, the bill that's
the law kind of a thing.
The bill that's up right now will allow a beer distributor to bid for a license.
Okay.
So they could, but it's not clear whether it would have to be a separate business or if they could sell them all in the same building. So you're talking about more money.
Right.
You know, all they want to do, and I got to tell you, I think the key to making all this work really well is what they call in other states the all-alc license, essentially a license to let you sell all kinds of alcohol.
Yeah, whatever you need. Yeah, right.
I know. What is so dangerous about that? You know, as far as that, you'd say, what's so damn dangerous about selling beer at a drugstore? But,
wow,
you know,
I never actually thought of it that way, but that's funny as hell.
God. You know, these guys talk about
a valid point.
Well, they talk about, you know, selling beer at a gas station, like, oh yeah, I mean, I drive up and park at every other place where I buy beer, but you're right, if I bought it at a gas station, I'd just go crazy and start drinking it as I drove away.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's stupid.
And you know, as far as that goes, there actually are gas stations that sell beer in Pennsylvania.
I know. Can we talk about that a bit? Because this
absolutely
will clear it up for everyone. I didn't even really know this until you had mentioned it a while back.
Oh, right.
For people in PA, at least, can you explain that selling beer in a grocery, not a grocery store, but a gas station has been legal forever, right?
Yeah. Well, the whole thing, well, actually, selling in the grocery store has been legal forever.
Oh, right.
The PLCB came right out and said that. It's like, this has essentially been legal since 1956. Nobody asked. Are you kidding me? So the reason, I mean, there are gas stations that sell beer in Pennsylvania. I've been in them. I've bought beer in them. I mean,
but that's mostly on the eastern side.
It's mostly on the eastern side.
I've never seen it over here.
The reason it became a hot button issue is because Sheetz wanted to do it. And Sheetz is a large Pennsylvania-based chain of convenience stores. Really good ones, I would add.
Yeah.
So the Malt Beverage Distributors Association got nervous. So they went to court. And it's still kind of winding its way through.
I mean, I think they'll end up winning that overall and down the road.
Well, see, again, that's going to cause problems because there's only so many liquor licenses out there.
Yeah.
Because every time you open one of those places, it eats up either a tavern license or a deli license.
Right.
Yeah.
Or a six-pack shop.
They're not making more of them, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, and why is that in PA? Is that just specific to Pennsylvania, or is that a common thing? I'm not sure at other states.
I don't know about how common it is. There are other states where it's exactly the same way.
Cause, like,
there are other states where it's not.
Yeah, I mean, basically, if you're not aware, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong here.
Sure.
For me to get a liquor license, there has to be one available, or I have to wait for a business to actually close down.
Yeah, because you're not buying it from the state.
Right.
Which, I have to say, strikes me as a really stupid way to set up a licensing system. Because once the state sells them for a pittance,
yeah,
then they're out there, and they become like this biddable item that is worth, I don't know, like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Is in other areas
where $250,000
population,
you know?
And they have too many licenses. I mean, it used to be you could get a license for like $15,000 in some places.
Yeah, not anymore. Not around here.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, it's almost like the state saying, no, we don't really want to make money on this.
Yeah, right.
I got a better idea. How about you just change all those licenses that are out there now, which would be impossible because you'd get your butt sued off. Change them all over to things that have to be renewed annually for, I don't know, $10,000 a year, $20,000 a year, to the state!
Exactly.
You know, and when you want to sell your business, you sell your business, not this piece of paper that's somehow stupidly worth $250,000.
Yeah, right.
I don't get that.
I don't either.
I understand what, and you know, bar owners will probably find me and hang me from a lamppost now because, you know, those poor bastards took out a mortgage on that piece of paper.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean,
yeah. So
when I found out how much it costs, I'm like, well, how do you open a business when their license costs as much as the business cost you?
Yeah. Then, yeah. That's right. And you got to finance the business on top of that.
Yeah.
But you know what? Because of that system, places like Applebee's wind up owning all the licenses because they just put those crossed into their business model machine, turn the crank, and out comes, here's how you do it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You need this big a store and this many people and this much of a blah, 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 blah. And they do it because they got, you know, this big pot full of money back there that they can make it work with. Yeah. And eventually you wind up with no corner bars and no mom and pop stores and no, and it is hell.
Yeah, it's all big chains and
it's all the same.
Yeah, right, right. It's yeah. Blah.
Yeah, it's Wawa. Like I said,
it's
earlier.
Wawa.
It's booze Wawa.
Oh, dude, on that note, cheers, brother.
Yeah, that's a good one, man. Cheers.
Sorry, let's wrap this up, bud, before we go off on another tangent. I think of something else to bitch about. Where can people find you at? Give me all three.
Okay, it's LouBryson.com is my main blog. Mm-hmm. NoPLCB, blogspot.com. And the third one is TheSessionBeerProject.blogspot.com, where I like to spout off about how I'd really like to see a lot more good lower alcohol beers.
Yeah, and I'm with you there as well.
Yeah.
And you got a little book out recently too, right?
I do. Put a new edition of the Pennsylvania Breweries book out last year. It's been doing ridiculously well. It's the first book I've really made any money on.
Oh, wow, dude. It's a great book. I have the older one and the new one. So.
Thank you. Yeah.
Definitely love it and definitely will support it. And cool. Also, you know, what I love about what you do too, especially with that book, is you actually post updates to that book and those breweries on your website.
Yeah, I'm a little bit behind on that, but I intend to get caught up. I've been working on a huge project and it's over, so I do want to get that caught up because, I mean, it's crazy. There's new breweries popping up all over the place.
Oh, everywhere, yeah, and unfortunately some closing down as
well. Yeah, I mean, my mom was just telling me about one I didn't even know about today.
Like local to you?
No, up where I used to live. I used to live in Lancaster County.
Yeah.
New place is supposed to be opening up there called The Fridge.
The Fridge?
You know, I got to tell you, I'm sick to death of tired of place name brewing company. Place name brewing company. Right. This town brewing company. I like The Fridge. I'm good with that.
Yeah, I mean, creativity is great,
right.
You know?
Right.
Love it. You're actually going to be doing a book signing this weekend, right?
I am. I'm up in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania on Sunday afternoon at the Gamble Mill Inn. They have a guy used to be at Ithaca brewing there, Mike Smith. Looking forward to going up there. I'm actually going to be there with Ken Hull, another writer who has a book called Going Local and Going Local 2 books, which are fabulous books. And it's all like the best independent local places in central Pennsylvania. I think it's like in a either 100 or 150 mile radius from State College. Nice. Excellent book. I always take it along with me when I go up in the area.
Nice. I'll have to pick it up, man.
Yeah, sure. We're both going to be up there. It's 2 to 4:30 at Gamble Mill. And then I'm actually doing a beer and bourbon dinner down at Otto's in State College that night, but it's already sold out. It was a pub club only thing. And
oh,
it's,
wow.
Yeah, so that should be a good time, too.
On the selfish side, when do you come back to Pittsburgh, man?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. I'm actually going to be in Pittsburgh next week, but I'm out doing college visits with my daughter.
Oh, the daughter.
Yeah, so it's, you know.
Yeah.
Low-key. I mean, I'm sure we're going to wind up someplace.
Don't worry, nobody
she
listens to this show,
she loves having dinner,
man.
At Brew Pub, so I'm sure we're going to get somewhere, you know. Well,
nobody listens to this show, so nobody will know you're there, so don't worry about it. You'll be fine.
Real nice.
Brother, dude, it's been a pleasure talking to you, man.
Always fun, man.
And if any of our listeners have any questions, you always hit up Lou. Or, you know, you know, put it on our Facebook page or his Facebook page. Where can they find you on Facebook? What is it? /Lou Bryson or?
It's just Lou Bryson, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. All one word, mind you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's get the conversation started, man. You know.
Sure.
Pro or con. You know, let's get the discussion going and
yeah.
See if we can
get something
done.
If you want to go and vote on that poll and send it, Joe Scarnati is where this poll is. Or you can just look at my page. I've got it up there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you can find it there.
Hop in and vote on that sucker.
And, you know, we'll keep you updated on it. I'm sure, you know, me and Spoon will be talking about this in future shows as well until something actually happens.
Should start to pop pretty soon.
Yeah.
Bill's going to be introduced in September. Commonwealth Foundation's going to be cranking stuff up in August. So watch for it.
Fingers crossed, man.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Sick Puppy and Lou Bryson out.
Take care.
Cheers, man. Thanks again, bud.
You bet.